Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson.
I'm Sam Delaney.
Hi, Sam. It's Friday morning. We're going to do a look ahead to some of the football that's coming up this weekend. But it's international weekend.
Boom. Oh, no.
Yeah, afraid so. So the matches we've got to look forward to are going to be random international ones, which I think is going to give me a golden opportunity to claw some points back on the leaderboard. Yeah. Oh, you don't know fuck all. These have been chosen randomly by the random fixture generator, of course, the yellow glutinous blob that picks the fixtures.
Yeah.
And if you think you can tell me what's going to happen in Liechtenstein versus Greece on Saturday, then you're a better man than I am.
Well, there you go. I thought for a moment you were trying to indicate that you knew more about international football than me.
No, I'm just saying that we've got a random chance of getting results right when we know absolutely nothing about the games.
Well, in that case, what you're saying is you acknowledge that my lead in the Predictions League normal is because of a superior knowledge of Premier League football than you or ResultsBot.
I'll grudgingly say it's because you've looked upon a system, you've chanced upon a system that gives you some kind of advantage. The total predicting system gives you a bit of an advantage. I don't know. I'm not prepared to subscribe to your expensive webinar and your courses online that teach total predicting. I've seen them.
Do you remember the Bobby Charlton soccer schools?
Yeah.
Like in the 80s?
Yeah.
Where
they've took on a new light since then, haven't they? God.
Well, yeah. In the evening, he used to blind people while they slept in their dormitories.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like that. It's more that I don't blind people, but it's that kind of a vibe. What I do is, do you want to hear an amazing thing? And you're definitely going to agree it is amazing.
Go on then.
In the 80s, when I was just a lad, I went on a couple of football summer camps myself, but they weren't Bobby Charlton ones. There was a,
inferior versions, are they?
Well, there was a chain or whatever you call it. There was a brand of summer camps, right?
Yeah.
And they had the funniest fucking name ever. And I bet you some cunters will have been on these or remember them at least. They were called Camp Beaumont.
What?
Which I remember my Uncle Simon finding hilarious because I said, I'm spending summer at Camp Beaumont. And he thought it sounded like a gay butler. Here comes Camp Beaumont. Right, they were called Camp Beaumont. Wow. I went on three. And and you could go on different ones, right? So some were for people who wanted outward bound activities. Some were for people who wanted to do fucking drama. And I went
fucking
on...
Fucking drama.
Fucking drama. I don't know why I'm saying spitting the words out like that, because actually I was a keen... It won't surprise you or many others know I was a keen dramatist
keen
at school.
Thespian. Child I thespian.
I was a fucking really super keen child thespian at all the school productions and all that. Anyway, that's a separate story. I went on the football ones in, I think, 1987 and 1988 it was. Do you know what they did was, all of these summer camps, what they did was they rented out schools for the summer. And the football ones I went on were residential. You could do a day one residential. But I went away with two of my best mates, both years, to the residential one.
Yeah.
Do you know where it was?
Where was it?
It was at Brentwood School in Essex.
Right.
Brentwood School in Essex is the private school that Frank Lampard attended in term time.
Oh, it's all connected. It's all linked.
Join the dots. Right, I didn't know that time because Frank Lampard, at the time, I never heard of Frank Lampard Jr. I'd heard of Frank Lampard Sr. And one of the reasons I think we chose it is because it was near West Ham. It was West Ham territory. And as part of the package, you got to get a tour of a top flight football team.
Wow.
And we were all but promised during booking that that football team would be West Ham because they were the local club. Both years it was fucking Wembley.
So during the booking, a nose was tapped and a wink was had and all that kind of thing.
Yeah. We can't promise, but suffice to say, there's one ground that's like a 20-minute coach trip down the road.
You're going to get to meet Trevor Brooking.
We're going to meet Trevor Brooking. No.
No.
We didn't go to West Ham either year. I was gutted. Anyway, this school, I suppose it's what posh schools look like. We were unused to these kind of environments, but they had dormitories.
Wow.
That we kicked in with other lads, other football enthusiasts from around the country.
Yeah.
And you had to dorm with them. Some of them were from the north. There was arguments, there was scraps. It was fucking brilliant fun. And you just played football every day, and they had FA-approved coaches.
Right.
They said they were FA-approved. I don't fucking know. It was just basically...
Wild West back then, wasn't it?
What it was the more accurate theme for this thing, because you had a brochure, and it would go like, you know, football holiday in Brentwood, you know, fucking mountain climbing in Wales, right? What they should have said was, for all of them, fighting holiday. Do you want to send your kids on fighting camp?
The FA approved. It was actually the Fighting Association.
It was just fucking a fighting camp because you just go there. It wasn't like horrible or scary, but it was just like a load of quite young lads from all over the country, all with different accents and different attitudes, wearing different little shirts, thrown into these fucking dormitories. And you'd just all fucking have fights the whole time or just be cunts to each other, but in a way that was sort of fun. There was a kind of a mutual respect in the country just because we knew it was fun. Pranking each other, chucking each other's clothes up on the roof, you know.
It was a bit like
throwing buckets of water on each other.
It was a bit like scum, but on a kind of a
lighter
level.
It was like scum. It was like Harry Potter crossed with scum. Because the environment... Actually, it wasn't that posh, the school. But it was posher than the schools that any of us went to. And it was like, you know... So it was a boarding school, but the attitude of the people who went to it on these football courses were that of inmates in scum.
It's fight. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fighting and scrapping. It was Frank Lampard's school. Yeah.
It's still a thing. Camp Beaumont is still a thing.
Yeah.
It's mostly London-based.
Camp Beaumont!
But it's still a thing. And there seems to be different programmes you can sign up to. One's called Playtime, one's called Magic, one's called Teen Club, and the other one is called Mania. That's probably one you were in.
It's fucking all mania. All of them. Because it was all a rip-off. Anyway, they go, yeah, and we've got a special design course for them. And the people who ran it were just students, right? They were just students in their fucking gap year or in their summer holidays, right? So you'd be supervised by like 19, 20-year-olds who were just there, you know, in Richard. They were just there for shagging and getting pissed, right? And they were a mixture of kind of completely inappropriate and irresponsible, like so swearing, talking about fucking stupid stuff to impress us and just being a laugh. And then sometimes when it got to the evening and we wouldn't go to bed and switch our lights out in time because they wanted to go and start getting pissed and getting off each other, they'd be really, really mean and strict and shout at us and scare us and stuff like that. And one punched me because we were standing in the corridor and I rocked up and I remember I was wearing these shorts that I was quite proud of. I think, no, it was a top. It was a top that he deemed to be quite cool. I was quite proud of it. And he's this older lad, and you think you're having banter with these older lads who are in charge of you. And he was Welsh. A lot of them were big sort of lads, you know. And he going, nice fucking top, Dad. He goes, can I buy it off you? And I went, yeah, all right, how much? And he went, 20 quid. And I went, fuck off. And he fucking punched me. I mean, I do look back now and realise to have just said fuck off to him that casually was very cheeky. But I don't know, it just, the atmosphere was a bantery atmosphere, Andy. And I just thought, I just looked at him down and just went, fuck off. And he fucking punched me so hard in the arm that I fell over.
I think the punch was a bit disproportionate. All you've done was say fuck off to, let's face student.
He didn't punch me in the face, but I think he wanted me to know, listen, you know, yeah, we might be having fun, but don't forget there is a power dynamic here.
Yeah.
Right? And you need to show a certain amount of respect. So I was really upset. There was loads of stuff like that. In the third year, when it got 1989, when I was about 14, there was a girl who I who was a mate and who I really fancied, right? And she actually subsequently did become my girlfriend. But at this time, she wasn't yet my girlfriend, but I did really like her. And she said, "You've been on a Camp Beaumont before, haven't you?" And I went, "Yeah, been on a football one." She went, "I'm going on," I don't know what it was, it was something like teen camp or something where you're supposed to do more teenage relevant things.
Yeah.
And she said, "I'm going on one. It's in Wales in the Brecon Beacons. I'm going for a week in the summer. Why don't you come on it with me?" I was like, fuck yes, right? Fucking, I've been invited on holiday
a dream come true.
And I'm 14. So I've lobbied my mum and she's, I said, you know, I'm more or less just levelled with her. I went, "Mum, look, this, I'm fucking obsessed with this girl and I've got a chance of going to a Camp Beaumont in the Brecon Beacons for a week. You have got to find the fucking money." So she does, God bless her. And I go off for the week, right, with this girl who I'd sort of had a crush on for ages, and we were in what people nowadays call the friend zone. Yeah. I now realise that. Well, this is a terrible story, because do you know what happened?
What happened? We got there
and I thought, fucking, by the end of the week, nailed on, she's going to be my girlfriend and we'll have got off each other loads. I mean,
yeah.
If not, why has she fucking invited me? Why did she badger me and call me and say, "Look, let's go on this holiday?"
Of course.
It's fucking nailed on. I thought, even I can't fuck this up. This is a nailed on. This is a sex getaway.
This is not a romantic field job, is it? It's all there. It's all laid out.
This is the biggest open goal of all time. She has asked me and lobbied me to go to Wales with her. I'm 14. I'm about to have my first sex holiday, right? With one of the fittest girls in the school. Right? Second day in, there's a disco. She gets off with another bloke. Then, not only does she get off with him, they then announce that they're going out with each other, which was stupid because we were only there for a week. I have to act cool with it, right?
Jesus.
The bloke is all right. I get on all right with him. So I want to hate him, but I can't. And we sort of become a bit matey, right? And I have to spend the whole week with her. She's the only mate who I've rocked up there with.
Yeah.
But she is sort of spending her time with this other bloke. And I'm like pretending to be cool with it. But the other lads are coming up to me in my dorm at night going, "How do you feel about that girl you turned up with getting off with Aaron?" I remember his name. It was Aaron. And I went, "Yeah, it's fine. He's a nice bloke. Must be quite weird for you." "No, why?" "Well, you turned up with her. She got off another bloke." "Yeah, that's fine.
We're
She's not
friends.
My girlfriend. We're just friends." And they're just like, "Yeah, mate,
prick.
We might be 14, but we can see what's happened here. You've come away thinking you're fucking nailed on, and Aaron's moved in on night two." What? She was basically torturing me. Anyway, I put up with it, and I think a couple of nights I was close to tears in bed, if I'm honest.
Oh, Sam.
I was close to tears. I just wanted to go home.
Yeah, of course.
I spent the whole week just wishing that the week was over, and I wanted to go home. And then in the end, it was over and I did go home. But then about a year later, when I was about 15, I started going out with her because I needed closure.
Yeah.
But by that stage, the whole thing was sullied. But I had the opportunity. I went out with her for us. She was my first proper girlfriend, really.
Did you go out with her and then dump her out of spite? Revenge?
No, well, I tell you what, how that relationship ended is another story for another day.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah. But anyway, it was a sad week. So those are my memories of Camp Beaumont. Is the working title of today's podcast. I don't know how we got onto it, but suffice to say, my older brothers and my uncle Simon and various other people ripped the shit out of me for spending my summers with Camp Beaumont. They fucking loved it. Are you spending summer? Are you summering with Camp Beaumont again, are you? Fuck off. It's not even gay or anything. It's fucking football course. It's FA fucking approved. It's really good. And actually, we do loads of fighting there. Ooh, Sam's going off with Camp Beaumont again. Fuck off. Well, it's fucking tougher than any holidays you go on.
You're doing lots of fighting, are you? Lots of male-on-male physical contact, is there?
Wrestling,
yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
With Camp Beaumont. Yeah.
If any other listeners have been punched at Camp Beaumont, do get in touch and we'll try and put together some kind of class action lawsuit against Camp Beaumont.
I mean, honestly, it was a shit show.
But alternatively, if Camp Beaumont would like to get in touch with us and offer some kind of discount for listeners, we're up for that as well. We'll either sue them or take their money.
I wouldn't mind getting involved as a supervisor at Camp Beaumont because it's a fun way to spend a summer.
We could do a special podcast from there. Would that be weird? Yeah, it probably would be, actually.
Yeah, they could, but if they sponsor us, we'll do it.
Punching
and we
teenagers.
Might be prepared to run a podcasting course for kids in the summer. You pay us a salary, and every day we just set up podcasting workshops for young kids. Because let's face it, the way things are heading, it's the only way kids are going to be able to find any sort of employment.
Doing podcasts.
Doing podcasts, yeah.
We'll do
Camp Beaumont Podcast Week.
We are also available for doing any podcast workshops anywhere at any time, because that seems
corporate
like a very...
ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to do one for a big city, like, banking firm like Goldman Sachs.
Yeah, we'll go in and do a half day, tell them how to do podcasts and trouser 1,500 quid.
Right. Sorry we can't be there, but there's been a problem on the trains. That's why we've had to call in on this conference call. Are you all there in the room? We'll be coming out of one of those black fucking conference call machines in the middle of the room. Is everyone here? Right. Well, if you're not, it's your lookout. You shouldn't be late. Now, have you all got pens? We asked for everyone to be given a pen. Right. Start writing this down. SoundCloud. S-O-U-N.
Audacity. You can edit it on that, but it's best not to edit it. Just put it out raw. It'll seem more real. People will like it more. Don't fuck about.
Do any of you remember Bagpuss? No, well, look, you want to fucking catch up on YouTube, because from our experience, that is fucking essential.
Dropping in any references from the past. Lots of swearing. All that
people
kind of
love
thing.
That.
Try and put out 5 episodes a week if you can. Maybe rise it up to 7 after a year. People fucking love it.
Now, the thing is, don't take this the wrong way, but I'm getting the strong sense from all of yous, right, that you're fucking boring and you've had boring lives, right? Now, that's going to be a big problem. Because you've got to have stories to tell. You know, if you were just a bunch of miserable cunts, you know, spending your weeks crunching numbers and your weekends playing golf, right, then you're not going to have the stories. You need stuff about your mate shat out of a tree and that sort of carry-on. So, I don't know, maybe you can make things up or what. Nick stories off your more interesting mates. I don't know. And like I say, I haven't seen any of you. I'm just getting a vibe down the phone that, by the way, you talk, that you're boring cunts. Now, am I right?
Yes.
No one answers.
Yes, we're boring, yes.
Final tip. Once you get enough listeners, get them to send stories in. You can just fucking read them out. You don't even need to do any work anymore. Piece of piss.
I know we're being paid for a full day, but because of the change in plans and this being down the phone and that, we're cutting it short, right? It's about 11 o'clock now. Has anyone got any questions? No. All right, then. Well, that'll be us. Ta-ra. Good luck with it all.
That's the kind of thing we're available for on the side, if you'd like to employ
just
us.
Just get in DM us on Twitter.
Yeah.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
Right, let's have a look at some predictions, Sam.
Yeah.
International weekend coming up. Are you feeling in a prediction kind of mood?
Yeah, I am.
You're going to have to be. Here we
go. I'm always ready.
So, Saturday and Sunday fixtures, these are chosen from, randomly, of course, from the pink blob. First of all, Liechtenstein versus Greece. These are all Euro 2020 qualifiers, I should add. They're not friendlies, they're proper matches.
Yeah, Liechtenstein. I could Google how the group's looking, but I'm not going to.
Have the group started?
They're starting a bit late, aren't they? Shouldn't they have started in the autumn?
Is it not tied in with that
league?
Nations League thing?
Oh, my God.
I don't know how it works.
It's impossible to work out, but either way, I'll go safe with this and say 0-1 to Greece.
0-1 to Greece. I'm going to say 2-0 to Greece, that one. Results bot says 1-0 Liechtenstein. Onwards.
Sure about that.
Spain versus Norway. I'll go first on this one.
Go on then.
Spain versus Norway. I think this is, again, going to be 2-0 to Spain. They'll do just enough to get the points.
I'll say 3-0.
Oh, flamboyant.
Well, I was going to say 2-0, but there's no point. I want to stretch my lead.
Ooh, do
this
you
is
know?
What total. This is what total predicting's all about, mate.
Okay.
Having guts. Having the balls to make mistakes. All just right. like Johan Cruyff.
Okay, fair enough. Speaking of Johan Cruyff, onwards to Netherlands versus Germany, which is on Sunday.
Oh, what
I think.
A game.
Hmm.
Well, this is a hard one to predict. I reckon this is going to be 1-1.
Oh, that's what I've just written down as well. Mm. Bollocks. Okay,
one
more.
Can't, you definitely can't afford to predict the same as me.
I'm going to have to go somewhere else, and I'm going to have to go 2-1 Netherlands.
Interesting.
Mm. Kazakhstan versus Russia. Interesting. Geopolitical fixture.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I thought Kazakhstan was made up. But
no, that's Turkmenistan. That's the made-up one.
Okay. Kazakhstan versus Russia, I'm going to say 0-2.
All right. I'm going to go 0-4, weirdly. Finally, Cyprus versus Belgium. Shall I go first on this one?
Yeah.
Cyprus-Belgium, I think 3-1 to Belgium.
I'm going to go 3-0 to Belgium. I mean, obviously they could beat them 10-0 if they wanted, but do they want
why
to?
Why bother?
Nah,
exactly.
Not worth it.
No, they're not going to do it. All right, those predictions are now locked in. In the last episode, we complained about Strayman stories not being stray enough for our liking because they weren't really straying from their own territory.
They were just getting locked out. We didn't ask for locked out stories.
Yeah, that's for Peter Crouch's podcast, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he's
that's
a decent
basic
one.
Bitches.
Yeah, he's a decent one from Mike in Kent. He says, when I was about 20, my mate and I went to a party in rural Kent. Everyone was camping in a field after the party. At about 2 a.m, we decided we wanted to go home and didn't fancy sleeping in a tent, so we decided to walk home. We didn't consider the fact it was a 20-plus mile cross-country walk. If Google Maps had been in existence, we would have realised it would have taken us 4 hours. On our journey, we had to army crawl across the garden of a large house and hide in a bush when we saw lights turning on. We made it out of there alive.
Army crawl. Good.
Yeah, good. We crossed a railway line. About an hour into the walk, we crossed another railway line and soon found ourselves back at the party after having walked in a massive circle.
That's like Porridge the Movie.
Yeah. He might have just nicked it from Porridge the Movie. He better not have,
Mike. Same plot device.
This better be true. So he'd gone back to the party where everyone was camping in the field. And he says, instead of admitting defeat and staying the night, we set off again. Ended up sleeping cuddled up in a field and getting bitten to shit by mosquitoes. We made it to a pub car park in the morning where I was sick on my soaking wet socks and then called my mum for a lift home. I didn't enjoy my stray night. Good. You didn't enjoy the stray night, Mike, but it was a proper stray night. You're not supposed to enjoy a stray night, are you?
If you've had to do an army crawl, then it's a stray night.
Yeah. And if your destination is fucking 4 hours away on foot, that's a proper stray night.
Stray night.
Not fucking sleeping in your garage. So,
although you could argue, does a true stray man have a destination?
I would say yeah. Ultimately, you want to get home, don't you? Even if you're not allowed
in. A true stray man has an abstract destination. And that is simply comfort, shelter.
Probably.
Wherever it may come.
Yeah. I mean, he had a destination, but it was 20 mile away, so it was never going to be feasible.
No.
So it was, you know.
Good. Strong stray in there.
You got anything there?
Well, I just wanted to turn people's attention to a story they've probably seen earlier in the week about Patrice Evra being a bit scandalised because he filmed himself celebrating joyously after Manchester United's victory against Paris Saint-Germain in the Champions League. And Paris Saint-Germain have condemned it because it was offensive. It was deemed to be homophobic.
Right.
And he was basically celebrating, mouthing off. You know, he's a big character, as they say, Patrice Evra. He's got form for, like, he loves sharing social videos of himself just acting the dick.
Yeah.
Which, you know, sometimes is very entertaining. But I think he crossed the line here because he used a lot of homophobic hate speech, which neither you or I agree with. But there is one line which did catch my eye.
Right.
And I did. I don't know if I approved of it, but I'll it's something that I'll probably reuse.
You'll defend to the death his right to see it.
I apologise in advance for the homophobic hate speech, but I'm just using it to put this other, like, this one line in context, right? So they've transcribed it in the Guardian. He was shouting on his phone after the game, "Paris, you are some faggots. I'm telling you. We, meaning United, put our D team out, and we did you. Some kids played. They used to clean my boots." Right, now listen to this. This is the key line. "They don't even have sperm." "Paris, you are some pussies." That is an amazing accusation to make about the likes of, what's his name, Scott McTominay?
Yeah.
And I can't remember the names of the ones
as well.
Chong.
Yeah.
Chong has no sperm. McTominay has no sperm. I don't know. I would imagine they do have sperm. I would imagine they are fertile. Is Scott McTominay fertile? If you ask me to guess just by looking at him, and by the way, this is quite a good idea for a Saturday night game show, fertile or infertile, and you just have contestants. Who's that kid who's always presenting things on ITV when Ant and Dec don't? He used to be a magician.
You see a kid, but he's about 42 years of age. Stephen Mulhern. Yeah.
Stephen Mulhern.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he looks like a child, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
Okay, so Stephen Mulhern, I'm a fan of his. Stephen Mulhern hosts Fertile or Infertile.
Yeah.
And we've got a lovely couple here from, where are you from? They're from Nottingham. This is Bob and Sandra. Bob, Sandra, we're going to wheel out the next young man. Is he a young man or is he a boy? You don't know. You know nothing about him other than his name. His name is Scott. Bring on Scott, please. Dim the lights. Right, heartbeat sound. Now, remember, there is a cash prize of £200,000 waiting for you should you answer the following question correctly. Do, 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 do. Is Scott fertile or infertile? To put it another way, does he have sperm or doesn't he even have sperm? I'm going to have to rush you.
Do they get to see him?
Bob, yeah, they're looking at him.
Right.
You've got to assess just on sight whether or not someone has sperm.
Yeah, okay.
And they go, "Okay, have you made up your mind?" "Yes, Stephen, we've made up our mind. Does he have sperm?" "We think he doesn't even have sperm." "Okay, can we now reveal, Scott, do you have sperm?" "Yes. Yes, Stephen, I'm afraid, Bob and Sandra, I do have sperm."
Oh,
yes, and that's been verified.
Any visual evidence?
The doctor comes on in a white coat holding a small plastic capsule with Scott McTominay's sperm in, and he says, "We have checked this in the lab and cross-checked it with Scott McTominay's DNA.
Yeah.
And this is his sperm.
He has
that
sperm.
That he wanked into this cup earlier.
He is fertile.
I'm afraid you won't be going back with the £200,000 cash prize, Bob and Sandra. But we hope you're going back with a whole lot of fantastic memories. See you next time on Fertile or Infertile.
It's been a fantastic day. Thanks for having us along." Having said that, that sounds plausible given that this Saturday night, BBC One starting a new thing with Paddy McGuinness where the contestants have to answer questions and then catch large balls that fall out of the ceiling.
Right.
So, you know, anything
you know
goes these days.
People say that the television industry is staffed by people who went to Oxbridge and for some reason, rather than becoming poets or government ministers or spies or captains of industry, like all the other things that are available to you when you qualify from Oxford or Cambridge.
They weren't good enough to do those things.
Think it would be, well, maybe, or maybe they just think, wouldn't it be a wheeze to go into the business of the dreaded Gogglebox?
Yeah.
Right? And they go, yes, it would be, rather. I've got an uncle who did that, and he made a mint out of it.
Doesn't sound like hard work either.
No, exactly. So they go into it, and then they start making programs, but the fatal flaw, or maybe not flaw, maybe it's an advantage, is that they treat the audience with utter contempt.
Yes.
And they assume, you know, like we've talked before about the Sky executives who go, yes, these people, these football fans, these soccer fans,
yeah.
They treat it as if it's their religion,
these
you
monsters.
See. Yeah, that's why you see all those ads where blokes are watching football, but taking it much more seriously than any normal bloke takes football.
Yeah.
Jumping, you know, they're always crying.
Jumping in the air and
Yeah, and everything's in slow motion because the world stands still, right? And you know that's been made by a bunch of cunty ad folk who've never been to a football match, right? Yeah. And it's the same in TV. And you just sort of think, sometimes I think that's fair, sometimes it's not fair. I know some people who work in telly aren't from that sort of background at all. But the fact that Paddy McGuinness is like their go-to for everything...
Mm.
Not that I've got a problem with him, but it does make you think that some executive somewhere has gone, well, of course, we'll need Paddy McGuinness, because he's like them.
Yeah.
You know, he's a bluff, gruff, northern imbecile with large, calloused hands.
Yes. I believe he started out life as a bouncer. I saw a documentary about his life.
Yes.
I think
yes.
It was. He was a nightclub bouncer. Yes,
a
working men's
a
club
common
bouncer.
Street brawler.
He tends
just
to...
like you used to see in those Albert Finney films from the 1950s.
He does
Saturday night and Sunday morning.
He does captivating things with his vowels sometimes.
Yes.
I can't really get a grip on what he's saying. He's elusive.
And that's why they have to have him on everything, don't they,
yeah.
On ITV. They have
and
to
not,
have him.
And
him or Mulhern.
And not say us.
Yeah, do you know what, actually? This is bollocks what I'm saying, because they have Mulhern and they have Ant and Dec. And Ant and Dec really are every men, aren't they?
Well,
I mean, you know, what,
I guess
one
so.
Of them's on. One of them is on the piss the whole time, isn't he? Like most
yeah.
blokes are. Yeah, I mean, you know, Ant and Dec are all right. You're funny about them because they're Geordies.
No,
probably.
I'm not funny about. I think Ant and Dec are brilliant, but
So basically, what I'm saying is just a load of silly old bollocks. For, ignore
right,
everything
enough.
That I've said. But I do sometimes think these shows are so stupid, they must be able to think of something better, but who knows what the reasons are. Commercial pressures, probably.
Probably. They should all do podcasts instead.
Anyway, they don't even have sperm. That's my line of the week.
We'll pitch that to Channel 5.
You don't even have sperm! He might have got that from, remember when Roy Keane did his rant when he sort of more or less walked out on United and he turned
yeah.
on all of his teammates. I don't know if everyone was there then. And I don't know what you're talking about, Patrick. You haven't even got sperm by the looks of you.
Everett's gone, oh, I like that. I am writing that down for future reference.
I will
reference.
Make a note of that. And when I am a senior pro, it is an accusation I will use to belittle the younger players. You haven't even got sperm.
Oh, God.
How do you know? Have you got sperm? Don't you worry about me. I got plenty of sperm. Don't make me prove it to you, because I'll do it right here in front of the lot of you.
But the last thing you'll ever see me do. In a United shirt.
And so, Alex, you can sit there rolling your eyes, okay, but you know for a fact that I've got sperm, right? And I don't think that you're sat here in the room, a knight of the realm, is going to stop me proving to every man Jackie is that there's sperm right here in old Kino's ball bag.
I'm from Cork. This is what I do.
Okay, let's have a sperm off. Everyone, you too, Rio, all of yous, get your winkies out right now. Let's see who's got sperm and who hasn't, and then we'll settle it once and for all.
At the security guards, exit Roy Keane from Old Trafford forever.
Yeah.
Right, that's all we've got time for, Sam.
Fair enough, mate.
Just some news without news before we go.
Yep, let's do it.
All right. NASA issues space herpes warning as virus reactivates in astronauts.
10.
I was going to say, you delayed that. I can't believe you weren't given an automatic 10 for space herpes.
Space herpes, yeah.
Yeah.
Great title for a film.
Onwards.
Or a band.
Glasgow siege man tells armed police he wants a bag of cans and Brendan Rodgers back.
10.
Finally, going for the full house here. Could we go for 3 tens? Nashville man accused of crashing into pole blames imaginary friend.
9.
Oh, you fucker.
Sorry, it's not quite as good as the others because it. I feel like, you know, I've heard this sort of thing before.
But that's so close to talking about running over a ghost that we talked about the other day.
Not the same, no.
You've ghosts given it a better. 9.
Imaginary friends are commonplace. Oh. Ghosts, less so.
I think that's a new category as well, imaginary friends you had as a child. Tell us all about your imaginary friends.
My son reckons he's got one at the moment, but I think he's just doing it for attention. He reckons his name's Frank, but I'll do some more digging on it for the next episode if you want.
Yeah. Scripts you've got into with your imaginary friends.
Yeah. Right. And things that you've... The biggest things you've blamed an imaginary friend for. So, like, a kid might say, I didn't eat the biscuits, you know, Malcolm did, or whatever the name of your imaginary friend is. But has anyone... More than running into a pole, someone's like robbed a bank.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Or committed like a huge fraud against a bank and then said, it's my imaginary friend,
as a child.
Peter Pocket. It's Peter Pocket's fault.
Okay. All right. That's it for now. We'll be back on Monday morning. Thanks for listening as ever. Ta-da.
Yeah. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.